So moved.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, second. Mr. Riley, any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I will close the, or I will, boy, I'm jumping ahead of myself, aren't I?
Well,
I want this to be over
it.
With.
You can close if you want to.
I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County and its zoning land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give a statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there is no background noise or discussions. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quality. Our quantity, I'm sorry. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the commission has not yet issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on the application in those cases. And in those cases only, council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the commission's recommendation to the council for a period of 5 calendar days following the commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. And the first matter we have is, Mr. President, is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 24, Roman numerals, Section 115-172, and Article 25, Section 115-172. 194.5 to add provisions for special requirements for solar farm conditional uses. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you, Mr. President. On February 7th of this year, the County Council introduced an ordinance to consider a potential amendment of the Code of Sussex County, specifically relating to the special requirements for solar farm conditional uses. Submitted into the record for the ordinance, we have a copy of the ordinance as introduced by Council on February 7th of this year. We also have one comment letter that has been received and included in your paperless packet. The ordinance was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 23rd of this year, and at the meeting of April 20th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the ordinance for the three reasons stated and subject to the five recommended revisions as outlined within the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the minutes of both of those meetings is included in your paperless packets. Thank you.
Okay, any questions? If not, Mr. Whitehouse, who was going to present for the county? Are you going to give
Effectively,
just that?
This staff summary. So the five revisions, I can go through those, Mr. President. They are, and I can read those into the record, but they are in your paperless packet. So. And so... So the first revision is subject, the following suggested revisions came from the Planning and Zoning Commission for the text of the ordinance. The first, A, the words "are landscaped" should be added at line 64 of the ordinance prior to the words "buffer strip". B, a new sentence should be added at line 65 before the final sentence to clarify how the buffer is measured, stating these measurements shall be taken from the property line to the nearest point of the solar panels or their support structures. And C, revise the sentence at line 65 to confirm that waivers from the buffer strip requirement are possible in appropriate circumstances, so that this sentence now states, provided, however, that the setbacks and or buffering may be increased or waived due to particular site-related conditions. And D, revise line 118 so that it now states solar panels and similar uses that are accessory or ancillary to the principal or permitted use. And then finally, E, the phrase "and not used for commercial purposes" should be deleted from 119. And just to add further explanation to that, Mr. President, that during the public hearing, it was discussed that all solar farms are technically commercial, in that the owners of the farms would be generating electricity for credits, and that is a commercial activity. So the suggested revision is to address that by deleting "and not used for commercial purposes" entirely from the ordinance. So,
okay. Any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to address this ordinance? Sir, give us your name and address, please.
Sure. Good afternoon. Mike Ryman with Becker Morgan Group, 309 South Governors Avenue, here on behalf of American Council of Engineering Companies. We actually submitted a letter to Planning and Zoning, which may be in your packet as well. I hadn't seen the detail of the revisions, but in listening to the description by Mr. Whitehouse, those all do make sense based on our review of the ordinance. First, just want to say that we agree with the adoption of a solar ordinance that provides us as designers some clarity as to what the expectations are and the requirements are in advance. We think that's very helpful, and we're fully supportive of knowing essentially what are the rules before we put these projects together. So we totally agree with that, agree with the revision that have been suggested by Planning and Zoning. Do have a couple of additional ones. They're outlined in my letter, but just briefly, on the setback itself, I do appreciate the clarification that it's to the panel, because there tends to be some confusion sometimes. Is it to the fence that surrounds the facility, or is it to the panel itself? And so having that clarity makes perfect sense to us, and is pretty consistent with what we see in other places. We do suggest utilizing 75 feet in lieu of what is in there now, which I think is 100 feet, or I believe it's 100 feet. That's more consistent with what we see in other jurisdictions. Just clarifying, when the document refers to solar panel, uses the terminology solar panel, solar farm, solar array, just some consistency there to make sure that you're talking about the panel, but it sounds like maybe that's addressed. And I think the biggest item is consideration for making these uses permitted uses within either certain zoning districts or certain parts of the county. You know, a conditional use process is generally intended for those uses which may be unique from place to place and require some specific consideration. The top issues that we hear when we're presenting these projects are, what are the buffers? How's it going to be screened? What are we going to do when it's when it's reached its longevity? You know, how's it going to be decommissioned? There's not traffic, and there's not noise, and there's not dust, and there's not emissions and smells and all these kinds of things, which many conditional uses fall into. The ordinance addresses those primary objectives. We now have clarity on landscape buffers, where they're, you know, how big they are, and we have clarity on a decommissioning plan. It's required now in this ordinance, I believe, and you have to put bonding in place. So when the solar ordinance reaches its lifespan, it is has to be, you know, decommissioned, and there's bonding to take care of that. So those things which the public has generally objected to, or the top items that the public has objected to, are now addressed in the ordinance itself and are requirements, and I think would negate necessarily the need of it to be a conditional use. Really, just from a timing perspective, as you know, or I'm sure you're well aware, the docket is quite lengthy, and some of the projects that are now just now making it in front of you were filed over a year plus ago from a time perspective, just to get through the queue, I'll call it, of projects. So this would be a way to minimize, obviously, the amount of projects that are coming before you. There, I think, have been a number of projects that have come before you, and I don't amount of objection hasn't been strong to date so far, and I think the ordinance does a really good job of defining the parameters. One thing that Kent County did, we've done some projects in Kent County, I worked really closely with them on their particular ordinance as well. They separated out what are community solar and large-scale solar projects. So the smaller community solars, call it 40, 50 acres or less, which are a majority of the solar projects that you guys are seeing. I know that you've had some larger ones, but those are the predominant number of solars. They are considered by right, and they go through, they have the potential of going through an administrative process. But the larger solars, the 100, 200 acre the facilities, they still are conditional use. And so that's something for consideration by council. Is there a way to have projects that meet certain parameters, maybe be a site plan process? It would still go to planning and zoning for approval, but wouldn't necessarily require the conditional use. It's really about time, frankly, the amount of time it takes. So those are my thoughts. One last thing on the buffering. Consideration for landscape buffering is fine, completely agree. Usually we're trying to landscape from neighbors, residential neighbors, of course, the roadway as well. In some instances, there's already existing forest, wooded forest on part of the buffer, so just making sure that you wouldn't then have additional buffer from the forest that's already there. But some of the uses, many of these uses, especially the community solar, it might be a 100-acre farm or 200-acre farm, and they want to do 20 or 30 acres in solar. And so the portion of the solar facility that is, I'll call it, backing up to the remainder of the farm, the intent is in 25 or 30 years, it could go back to farm. Well, if you buffer that, if you're buffering that facility from the farm, you now have this, you know, buffer in the middle of the farm. So just food for thought on whether or not we need that additional landscape buffer from the remaining or residual ag land use. We would suggest you don't, but I think as it's currently written, we would have to buffer there as well.
Correct.
Okay, so that's it, just some suggestions. Overall, we're generally obviously supportive of it in spirit, and just some suggestions for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter, Mr. Hutt?
Good afternoon. For the record, David Hutt with Morris James. You probably saw in the notes and minutes from the Planning Commission my comments to the Planning Commission, and I see that the Planning Commission did, with items D and E, incorporate that concern that I referenced there. And just for the benefit of everyone, the concern was that it had to be accessory to or ancillary to the principal use. And one would I ask that it be the permitted use as well, because there's more than just things that are by right by zoning. There are things, as you know, that arise by conditional use, as was just discussed, but also things that arise by special use exception and that sort of thing. And so the additional language that you see in D incorporates all of the various ways that a person could use their property. And then the language in E that Mr. Whitehouse referenced about not being used for commercial purposes, again, I think the very nature of the solar energy, solar panels, is that they're all used for commercial purposes. And if that language isn't stricken, I think that Mr. Whitehouse and his staff would have a very difficult time interpreting how to apply the ordinance. But again, this is just support for the Planning Commission's recommended changes, but particularly those in letters D and E.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in reference to this proposed ordinance? Anyone else? Operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter? Okay, thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. Is it okay with council to close public record? Ask Mr. Moore with a short title.
Yes, and Mr. President, this one is a little different than most zonings. The planning and zoning specifically requested that there be, 4A through E as amendments to this. So I think it'd be appropriate first that we move to amend the proposed ordinance with those items 4A through E that are in the planning and zoning recommendations. Have a vote on that first and then vote on it as amended.
Okay, you have a motion for that?
There would be, it'd be appropriate for council to move that the proposed ordinance be amended by those items recommended by planning and zoning identified as 4A through E on its recommendations.
Pleasure, council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson. Any question on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll be at the motion carried. Mr. Moore.
An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 24, Roman numeral, Section 115-172, and Article 25, Section 115-194.5, to add provisions for special requirements for solar farm conditional uses as amended by this council and for the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Green.
You need a yes or no answer? Or
we do, and why, which would be the way they said with the amended motion, yeah. So, based on P&Z's recommendation.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning with amendments today, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes, based on the amendments today.
Mr. Riley.
I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendations and reasons given as amended.
I also agree with our reasons and the 4A through E as additions. I agree with that also. I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. The next matter is ordinance number 2301. Mr. Weyhaus.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the Sussex County sewer tier map of the comprehensive plan from the tier 4 area, which is the system optional areas, to the tier 2 Sussex County planning area in relation to tax parcels and its district 533 map 11 parcels 23.00, 23.03 and 23.04. The properties are lying on the southwest side of Zion Church Road, which is Rep 20, approximately 605 feet northwest of Deer Run Road, which is Sussex County Route 388, and the north side of Deer Run Road, approximately 159 feet southwest of Zion Church Road, submitted into the 911 address is 36054 Zion Church Road, Frankfurt. Submitted into the record for this, Mr. President, we have a copy of the ordinance that was introduced by County Council at its meeting of January 10th of this year, and we also have a copy of Exhibit A, which shows the two areas in relation to the application site. I would note that we've received zero comments. In short, this is an amendment to change the sewer tier map, which is one of the maps that exists within the comprehensive plan, for specifically for those parcels. That the ordinance was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission and its meeting of March 23rd of this year. And at the meeting of March 23rd, the Commission recommended approval of the ordinance for the four reasons as outlined within the motion. And because this was relates to sewer tiers, Mr. President. I asked Mr. Medlars to join us for this in case there's any technical questions as to why the ordinance seeks to change it to tier two and not tier one. So,
any questions from council? If not, Mr. Medlars, did you want to make a short presentation?
Thank you, Councillor. Good afternoon, Mr. President and council members. The reason is when you have the exclusive right to extend the sewer district boundary under Delaware law. So under that title, that is the transition from a tier two to a tier one. Tier two is our planning our area, which gives the county the exclusive right to service in the future that particular area. The tier three area is where the county has a first right of refusal. However, other private sewer providers can also operate in tier three. So tier four is where central sewer service is optional. So sewer service can be provided by on-site individual and by on-site central sewer service that can be a private provider. But it would not be in a tier four a central sewer service provided by Sussex County. So the choice is to move it. We could have moved it in a tier three, but that would have added to confusion because the request ends up wanting to be in the county central sewer district. But we cannot do this in a one step, so it has to be a two step. You move it by the map amendment into tier two, and in the future, after land use approval, it's important, you will see us again moving it without request into the tier one.
Good. So it's a thank you. Is there anyone here today that would first, are there any additional questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to address this proposed ordinance? Anyone here today that would like to address this? Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon again. For the record, David Hutt with Morris James. I represent the owner of the property as well as the applicant that initiated the process that Mr. Medlars just discussed. And he was talking about the Chapter 7 process of the comprehensive plan, which is the utility chapter, of course, of the comprehensive plan. And I will just comment that Chapter 4, your future land use plan, is consistent with this request. The property is divided into two parts of the comprehensive plan future land use map. When you look at it, the majority of the property is within the coastal area, one of the county's developing areas. Then there's a small portion of the property that is in the developing area. When you look in Chapter 4 under infrastructure, it states that central sewer and central water, in fact, are strongly encouraged. Those are the words from Chapter 4 in these areas. So the adoption of this ordinance would be consistent with the county's future land use plan. And frankly, that is already included within the recitals or the whereas clauses for this ordinance. But for those reasons, the applicant and owner would ask that the council adopt this ordinance.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address this issue? Anyone else in the room? Seeing none. Operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, Operator. Mr. President, this time, excuse me, Mr.
One passing thought, Mr. Moore, if I could. Because this is technically an amendment to the future land use map, I would suggest that any motion be contingent on us checking with the State Planning Office to make sure that they're not requiring it to go through their process before the actual decision.
Typically, when we have an ordinance, it passes at that time. We could add an amendment to that subject. Boy,
why not just defer it and get the answer?
Yeah, is that possible?
We certainly could, or the motion be subject to there being no objection or words to that effect. So just so that we could, having run it through our process.
We have had some concern that, quite honestly, having ordinances and motions such as that basically giving another entity authority over the county's position. So it possibly be if we could just defer till we get Do you anticipate that being relatively quick?
We can do that very quickly. So,
okay.
But certainly by the time the next meeting, can we bring it back as old business? So.
Okay, so we could close the record pending a response from them, keeping the record open for that purpose only, and then bring it back on the agenda and vote on it.
Sure.
So I'll read the short title and then.
Don't you need to ask anybody online?
We did. He said there was no one listening online. That's okay. Why I said we could do that.
Okay.
Ready for me to read the short
title
then?
Yes,
sir. An ordinance to amend the Sussex County sewer tier map of the comprehensive plan from the tier 4 area system optional areas to the tier 2 Sussex County planning area in relation to tax parcels 533-11-23, 23.03, and 23.04.
Pleasure, Council.
Mr. President?
Sure.
I would like to keep the record open until we hear back from the State Planning Office.
Okay.
I would make that motion so that we have a definite answer on that question.
Okay. Keep the record open for that one purpose only.
Close the public hearing and then keep the record open. How's that work?
We close the public hearing.
We close the public hearing. You're deferring except for the one
just
issue.
For that specific purpose. Yes.
Okay. All right.
That would be my motion.
Okay. Well, we'll close public hearing.
Okay.
And then we will keep public record open for the purpose of hearing a response back from State Planning Office.
Correct.
And then we'll deal with it as old business.
Right. Yeah.
That's your motion?
Yes, sir.
And I'd have a second.
I will second it.
All right, second, Mr. Raleigh. Questions on the motion?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Okay. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Raleigh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Motion carried. Next.
Next matter, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2346, Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 63.86 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the north side of Dorothy Road, which is Route 64, and the west side of Sussex Highway, which is Route 13. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 332, Map 7, Parcel 19.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of the conceptual site plan for the property, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, we also have a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and I would note that we have one mail return and no comments submitted into the record. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 9th of this year, and at the meeting of March 23rd of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 8 reasons stated and submit to the 11 recommended conditions as outlined within the motion. Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from council? If not, if the applicant or representative is here, sir.
Thank you. For the record, my name is John Falkowski, civil engineer with Becker Morgan Group, here on behalf of Turning Point Energy, address 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware. And Mr. Whitehouse will bring up the PowerPoint presentation, but I also have Mr. Jordan Belknap, who's spoken before you before. I'll bring him up here in just a minute to go over some of the general benefits of community solar. So this project is in Laurel. On Dorothy Road and Route 13. It's a fairly large parcel at 63 acres, and a map will be up in just a second. But it's AR1, ag land, 68 acres. The back half of the site is completely wooded, and this community solar project will be in the front half. There we go. I get too far.
Scroll down.
Oh, scroll. Oop, there we go. There we go. So this is the parcel I described, 63 acres, back half wooded. The solar array area is the ag land here that you see. It's 20 acres for the array area, but with the buffers and setbacks and things, it's roughly 27 acres. Route 13 and Dorothy Road, there are some residents around the property, and I'll go over the buffering that we've provided. I would like to bring up Mr. Belknap just to say a few words on behalf of the project.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the council. My name is Jordan Belknap, Director of Development with Turning Point Energy. My address is 23 Salem Street, Wakefield, Massachusetts. Turning Point Energy is an experienced solar energy developer, active in Delaware and several other U.S. markets. We believe at Turning Point that our projects should create economic, environmental, and community value. And we do this by focusing on community solar projects. These projects provide economic value because we create a project where residents can subscribe to the solar project and receive savings on their electric bill. They create environmental value because these facilities generate clean, renewable energy and put that in the electric grid, otherwise displacing more carbon-intensive forms of electricity generation. They provide community value because we make charitable contributions for every project to worthy organizations who are in the community and making a difference. On September 17th, 2021, Senate bill was passed into law in the state of Delaware that allowed for the development of community solar projects like the one before you. Community solar is a model where residences and businesses can sign up and subscribe to the facilities and get credits on their electric bill. They purchase the credits, and the cost of the credit is less than the value of the credit itself. So there's a net difference, and they receive a savings. The benefits of community solar is it really can expand the people who can take advantage of solar energy systems. You know, many homeowners have installed solar panels on their roofs and achieved energy savings that way. But not all residences are well suited for solar energy. Community solar allows people to go solar without a mechanical connection to their building. We can build a larger facility and at a better economy of scale and pass that savings on to the subscribers. This is especially appealing for low-income housing, condominiums, mobile homes, or properties that just aren't well suited for a solar array on their roof. So it brings those people into this economy and allows them to participate. The project and many other projects have a variety of other benefits. I mean, we're sourcing local clean renewable energy power and putting that into the electric grid. It eases the burden on the transmission system to transport power from great distances to their end use. There's no long-term traffic, no additional burden to county infrastructure. We don't affect the sewer, the public roads, or additional kids in the school. We provide construction jobs and engineering services at the local level to design and construct these facilities. These are environmentally friendly. We put pollinator-friendly seed mix underneath the solar arrays to create a nice habitat. We are essentially building a power plant with zero fuel cost and replacing carbon-emitted sources. And at the end of the project life, the system will be decommissioned, and it can return to farmland. It's not a permanent use for the environment. So, in short, we feel this project promotes the goal of 7.3 of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, which encourages the use of renewable energy options, such as solar farms, and provides benefits to the citizens of Sussex County. So I'd be happy to take any questions, but I can turn it back over to John to go through this project specifics.
Any questions from council?
Question? Yeah. Just wondering who the landowner is living in that little square there. Is that the homeowner that is a home there?
There are two residences in the southern half
the
there.
Center
yep.
of that.
Yep.
Are they the landowners, or they are separate landowners from this?
There are two residences with two separate landowners. I believe one of them's a rental. They're okay. Renting it out.
So I'm guessing it doesn't necessarily interfere with their living and negatively impact them?
No, I mean, we are proposing a buffer, a vegetated buffer all the way around that. And I did have a community meeting where I reached out to everyone within the 200-foot notice requirement. And the people in those houses did not come to that meeting. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jordan touched on a lot of the things I was going to touch on, so I'll be brief. But just to point out the landscape buffer, we have the natural vegetation to the north, but we are providing a landscape buffer all the way around the perimeter, the remaining perimeter. You can see this green line that I'm highlighting here, and it does tie in back to the existing vegetation on all sides. And that buffer is similar to what you've seen in the past. It's the 25-foot buffer with evergreens and 12 evergreens and 15 shrubs for every 100 feet. And then we'd provide a chain link fence, a minimum of 7 foot high on the inside of that buffer. So you would have, from the residents, you would have that buffer and then the fence on the inside and then additional buffering to the arrays themselves. And Jordan touched on several of these. This is a 4 megawatt AC community solar, no traffic, does not produce odor, dust, gas, smoke, fumes. Does have power inverters, but they will be located away from the residence and they don't produce much noise. We did provide a glare study that's in your packet, tab 2.13. Jordan touched on the pollinators. We will be submitting to the Conservation District. The entire array area will be taken from ag land to a pollinator meadow mix, which will help reduce the runoff. And we'll seek approval from the Conservation District for that. The landscape screening, the fence, like I said, it'll have a gate, which will have a Knox box for emergency provisions and turnaround areas for fire, emergency personnel, and that sort of thing. And then Jordan did hold the community outreach meeting. It was in the Laurel Fire Department on February 8th. And then we did submit the decommissioning plan. And Jordan touched on these, so I won't go over them, but it does meet the intent of the Sussex County Zoning Code and the comprehensive plan and has very minimal adverse impact to the neighbors. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone in the room that would like to speak in favor of this application, sir?
Good afternoon. I'm Judd Malone. I live here in Georgetown, and I'm also the executive director of the Pallet Shelter Village for people who are chronically homeless. We're in favor of this project because we all know that there's a crisis in housing cost, and energy cost is a pretty big component of that. And there have been some instances where people literally can't afford a house because it's just the cost is too great. So we think that community solar is an excellent approach. Because it doesn't have to be put on every rooftop, and yet you still get the same benefits. So we are very much in favor, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone in the room that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check online to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. So give the council close public record. And there's more, read short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 63.86 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 8 with conditions 9A through K.
Okay, that's in my district. I make a motion to defer.
Second.
Motion second. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We got the motion carried. Next.
Next matter, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2347. Mr. Boyhouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a certain parcel of land, Loyingham being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 39.33 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of North Old State Road, which is Sussex County Rep 213, approximately 0.1 mile north of the intersection of Haflinger Road, which is Sussex County Rep 625. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 230, Map 12, Parcel 39.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, we have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and I would note that we have zero comments submitted into the record. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 9th of this year, and at the meeting of March 23rd of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 8 reasons stated and subject to the 9 recommended conditions as outlined within the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings, is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from Council? None. You're back in the batter's box again.
For the record, John Falkowski, Becker Morgan Group, 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware. I would ask that Mr. Belknap's testimony from the previous application be entered into the record for this one as well. That way we don't have to be overly repetitive.
So noted.
There's a question that occurs to me, though, if you can indulge me for a moment. You're selling subscriptions to the area in general surrounding the solar array?
Yeah, well, I'd have to bring Mr. Belknap up to answer.
Yes, we are. The actual rules for the project was the customer has to be with the same utility as where the project is located. So these are Delmarva DPL projects. Mm-hmm. So that customer would have to also be a customer of Delmarva. We like to make advertise to the local area where these projects are sited, because we are trying to get customers, and we very much would want those in the surrounding community to participate in these projects.
How far away can you go?
You can go in the state of Delaware, same state, as long as you are a customer of Delmarva Power.
And this does not require the utility to give you, and I'll phrase it this way, I've been hearing some reports that the utilities are no longer accepting or offering credits to individual homeowners who set up arrays on their own property because they've reached their capacity, their limits. That does not apply to
you. So it shouldn't apply unless that customer is generating more power than they're using, essentially, because I would have to check the specifics with DPL, but most utilities are not going to write out a check to a solar customer for exceeding basically the amount that they use. Mm-hmm. Okay, that may be what you're referring to. I'm not sure.
Could be. Okay. So, but you're offering, they would be getting less power than what they're using as a subscriber.
So what we would try to do is we would look at how much usage, how much they consume on an annual basis, and we would try to target the amount of credits they purchase to just reach that or just be under that amount, okay? Because the more they purchase, the more savings that they have until they go over annually. So it doesn't make sense to purchase more credits than you need, right?
And you're not anticipating having any difficulty selling subscriptions?
No. I mean, most markets are fully subscribed. Generally, it's more difficult siting the projects themselves, compared to what the electric grid can support in a certain area.
Mm-hmm. That was my question. Yeah.
Thank you.
And the balance of his testimony given to the other will be incorporated into this record.
Okay, thank you. So this project is located in Lincoln, also zoned AR1. This one doesn't have too many residential properties around it, as Mike Ryman's testimony on some of the landscaping requirements. This was a complete ag land, almost 40 acres. This top portion you see here in red and orange will be the array area of 18 acres. That's a smaller system, a 2 megawatt AC system that you can see is sited here. And really we worked with the property owner and the lease farmer to modify this site plan from its original submission almost a year ago. But it used to be more square in nature and it interfered with an irrigation pivot. We've since modified it that we presented to Planning Commission to modify it to be able to have this irrigation pivot continue to provide water to the remaining farmland, and so that ag land could remain in use. And so one of the reasons we don't have the landscape buffer here is to what Mike spoke about, the not having to remove them after decommissioning 25 years down the road, where you might have mature trees now in the middle of your farmland. And it would also provide a little bit more interference with that irrigation pivot. So for those reasons, we did not show the landscape buffer on this one.
But there'll be a landscape buffer at the top?
Along the road?
Drive.
Not currently showing one, but. You do have some adjacent buffering across the street here. I think there are a few residents just off the page to the top. But you do have considerable amount of space between the array and any residential units. And you do have the railroad to the east.
I mean, I get the idea, not by the railroad and certainly not along the bottom part there. Maybe even across the top, so because the old state road is no housing along there, I see. But Laughlin Drive, there certainly is a potential. I can't tell what else is up top there, but so I could certainly put a house there, two houses, I would think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, not sure what I did there. I don't think we'd have objection if you wanted to provide the same 25-foot landscape buffer as shown in the other ones along the road frontage here.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So again, 2 megawatt AC system. I'll ask that, you know, most of these items be entered from the last project. They're all similar. Only difference here would be that we did hold a community outreach meeting that was held at the Milford Library on February 7th. And identical project summary to the last project as well, if we could carry that through as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application, sir?
Yeah, good afternoon, Council. Randy Annis. I am the address is 37487 Liverpool Lane, Rehoboth, and I'm the trustee of the property. And I'll be brief as well. A lot of this is redundant from what the other folks have shared, but I'm here today supporting the project along with my mother, Joyce. And just briefly, this has been land. It's been in my family. My grandfather farmed this land and owned it back in the 40s. We've been good stewards. It's been passed along to my mother, and we've since years ago put it into trust to preserve the legacy of it for generations. You know, over the years, before Jordan came around, when the development was going crazy, I was getting approached by left and right, you want to sell your land, we're going to put homes in there and all this kind of stuff, but we were always against that direction for the property. When Turning Point approaches with their plan, I've always been a big supporter of green energy and, energy savings and so forth. And it was a no-brainer to take this path with them. The way they have accommodated the irrigation, working with the existing farmer, they've been very flexible and easy to accommodate us. And as previously mentioned, there's bonding and other measures to make sure when it is decommissioned, it'll be restored to farming in the future. So, okay, just appreciate your time and ask. Ask for you to support the project so we can all benefit from saving some energy cost and enjoying the benefit of that. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
We have a question.
Ms. Green.
Yes. Following what President Vincent said, the landscaping around, not by the irrigation or on the back part, but
That little back road there.
Yeah, the side, and maybe the front as well, like that corner of them, that way.
You want to bring the drawing up?
Not this way.
Sure.
Just had you addressed it. Have you come up with a decision that it's not needed, or?
And if I could make one point of clarification, I had discussed with Jordan, and we are agreeable to providing that same 25-foot buffer along Laughlin Drive and along this side if needed. No objection to that.
Have to make an amendment to that effect to go.
We have to do that.
Yes. And is that just one road there, Laughlin Drive?
Correct.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor, sir?
Don't worry, I'm not going to repeat what I said before. I just wanted to clarify that that we're in favor of all of these projects, if that's not out of order.
That is not.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public record.
We'll close the public hearing. It's okay with council, close the public record. And Mr. Moore, with a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 39.33 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 8 with conditions 9A through I. And this would be the time, if it was desire of council to make an amendment to add buffering, we could actually take the identical provision in the last one and insert.
So, Mrs. Green, is her, do you want to add any buffering to it, or you, that's just a question for you. Do you want to add buffering or not?
Yeah, it's a last minute question here.
And if you want to, we can certainly, you can either take time to think about it, or we can certainly defer it and act on it later in an old business. You can certainly add it then.
We can add it then.
Right, Mr. Moore?
Yes.
If we defer it, we can sort of add it later.
We can certainly add it in at that time, or we can add it now.
Yeah, it's the only thing I wanted to just look at it, maybe ride by and take a second look at that to consider. Okay. Outside that, everything looks good. I think it's a good use.
It's a small back road. I don't know how much traffic it gets, but
It might not get any. I don't know. But just the potential that somebody could, I guess, buy something across the road there and put a house or whatever that one. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a good use of your land there. I think it's great. I'll just, let's
make a motion to defer.
To defer it for that one reason.
Second. Motion, Mrs. Green. Second, Mr. Hudson to defer. Question on the motion. We'll take you up, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. And make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Question on the motion. Take a vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Obviously, I'll be adjourned. Thank you, everybody.